This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Unique Ngakoue right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm asking for a favor. Just next time say, hey, Matchell, what's going on? See what he says.
I got that in the notebook.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I hope one day I get to hang out with Matt Ryan and we can have a real conversation about the Matchell.
Let's do it.
And how much he hates it.
Today's guests. From NBC Sports, Peter King, Mets manager Buck Showalter, actor Josh Charles, plus your phone calls, NBA playoffs update, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Once we are done with this program, we are winging our way to New York City for the Sports Emmy Awards tomorrow night, where this show is up for Best Sports Studio Show that's on a daily basis. And boy, are we on a daily basis. Every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern time right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We look forward to commuting with our NBC friends. We don't get to see very much of because we're out here in Los Angeles, California. And then there's going to be a great to-do later on when the Sports Emmy Awards are up for Best Studio Host. I'm up for that individually. And hopefully we'll come back on Thursday with two trophies on the desk.
Like Giannis.
And if not, we will be really pissed and bitter. Oh, I'm sorry. Pissed and
we'll
bitter.
Talk about it for a whole year.
My bad. No, we won't. We'll be very happy. We're going on mass. The entire Rich Eisen Show crew will be on the same flight going out to New York City. We're very excited about that. Chris Brockman and Jay Felly are here. Mike Del Tufo is already in New York, which is great. Saves me the cost of a flight for him. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
It's an honor to be nominated. That is an honor to be nominated.
That is true. These are all true. And for those of you listening on the radio, and those can clearly see it on Peacock, TJ Jefferson looks absolutely tight. The beard, honestly, that is
lined up.
All terrific.
Everything looks great.
Shout out Benny Blades. Yes, exactly. I love that. That's it. That's your guy's nickname.
That's my man.
Very good. Joining us here is a man I think who covered all the Blades en route to him being enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame for being one of the best of the profession, which he is, on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line from our friends at NBC, and also Football Morning in America. His column is always must read every single Monday. Joining us here on the program is Peter King. How you doing, PK?
Hey, everything's going good, Rich. How about you?
We're hanging in there. So there is a lot going on in the NFL, as always, but particularly this week with some news with the NFL spring meeting. The members are gathering for a spring meeting, and I'll hit you on a couple of those subjects in a moment. But one of the reasons why we picked up the phone is because we read your power rankings here in late May, and that's always a conversation starter. So let's have that start us off right here. I guess nothing's won in May except the Peter King power rankings in a way. But I'll give you the floor on why you ranked the top teams in the NFL the way that you did, Peter.
Well, I don't think there'd be any surprise about Buffalo at number one. I think they're clearly right now today the odds-on favorite if anybody was going to do power rankings to be the best team in football. What I try to do, Rich, every year when I do this exercise is I try to say, look, it never, ever, ever happens that teams finish the next year the exact same way they finished the previous year. So most of the reaction is, oh my God, how can you have the Chargers number two? And I say, well, it's the same as a couple of years ago when I had the Bucks in the top 10, or the year the 49ers went from 6-10 to the Super Bowl when I had them number 7. And it's, you know, you try. Now, look, I'm wrong a lot more than I'm right. But you just try to pick out teams that you see going in the right direction. And with the Chargers, for instance, I see an offense that I think is going to score as much as anybody in football this year. And I see a defense that added Khalil Mack to play opposite of Bosa, that added J.C. Jackson to give them the best corner in the free agent market. and I see a generous run defense that got stockpiled with a couple of big bodies to help them stop the run. So I look at all that, and I just say, I really like Chargers. And most of the rest of the top 10 is fairly predictable. You'd probably have some raised eyebrows at the Eagles being number 9 and being the best team in the East. But, you know, the Eagles are the NFC's version of what the Chargers are in the AFC. They won the offseason. And a lot of times that can have sort of a denigrating mark on a team. Like, Washington used to win the offseason every year when they signed Deion Sanders and Bruce Smith, and when they would win all the offseason awards every year, and they never played great. But I think what the Eagles have done, particularly with A.J. Brown, is a little bit different.
Well, let's just there's a couple – you gave us a lot of food for thought right there, but let's start with the Chargers, because you have the Chiefs number 3 on your list, your power rankings. And I'll be straight up with you, man. I'm with you on not putting the Broncos top 5. I think a lot of people feel that just add Russ in a spot where he's going to be allowed to cook, which is something I know that makes Pete Carroll irate whenever he heard the Russ, you know, let him cook thing. I don't know if it's as simple as just add Russ and then all of a sudden the Broncos are a Super Bowl contender in 2022. But I'm wondering where you find the Raiders. I think the Raiders are almost as improved positionally as the Chargers. I understand J.C. Jackson was a huge free agent signing, and Khalil Mack is great to have across Bosa. To put Chandler Jones next to Max Crosby, yeah, and then add Davante Adams for a quarterback who he doesn't already have to go, you know, on some sort of Bahamas mission to get on the same page with, I think that's pretty darn, yep, significant for the Raiders.
I think the Raiders could be really good too. I think one of the problems in trying to forecast the best division maybe ever in the NFL, and I mean that, because if the Denver Broncos, as I project, finish last in the division, I mean, they could be the best fourth place team,
yes,
ever. You know, in an NFL division, and same thing with the Raiders. I could see the Raiders winning 13 games. The problem when you start to try to say this team is great, that team is great, well, they also, and that was my biggest problem with putting the Chargers number 2, with taking a team from that division and moving them way up there, because they've got 6 games against. And they could lose any of those 6 or a multiple of those 6. So it gets to be really, really hard. You can't have all 4 teams being in the top 10 or being absolutely great, because the record is just not going to show that. And I doubt that all 4 of them are going to make the playoffs, which it would be. That would be really tough to do. But I agree with you. I think the Raiders have done an awful lot of good things, two great things, and I think they are significantly improved.
And then, you know, the Chiefs sitting there at 3, the one thing I just need to see, and I don't doubt that it's possible. It is, you could even say probable, certainly with the fact that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes are all in the same meeting room, and then Mahomes is the one who's executing it. I do need to see what this offense looks like without Tyreek Hill. Now, I had Brett Veach on the show just about 10 days ago, Peter, and he walked us through exactly why,
yeah,
Tyreek Hill was sent to Miami, and about planning and about the years to come. And he also said it might not be such a bad thing that their offense needs to be changed up in a way, because we saw it falter at times in last year that we were not used to seeing. But as we just walk through how difficult this AFC West is going to be for the Chiefs to have, they had two major advantages. It's Mahomes to Kelce and Mahomes to Hill. You could even say those are the best connections at those quarterback and tight end and receiver positions in the NFL. They coughed one of them up. They coughed one of them up, and I need to see what that looks like, Peter.
I agree. I don't know what it looks like. I guess the reason that I have them so high is that, you know, in Mahomes we trust. And that's the way I feel about it. Plus, it's not like the cupboard's empty. You know, especially right. with Juju Smith-Schuster and Valdez Scantling. And look, the one guy who I kept hearing about from the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world before this draft were, man, Sky Moore has a chance to be really, really good. So, you know, it's not like the cupboard is bare in Kansas City. But, you know, I would worry, too, about the leadership of Tyrann Mathieu being missing as well on the back end of that defense. So there's a lot of question marks that they have. But, again, I put them third because of my faith in Mahomes.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then last one for you on this is when you take a look at your top five that we're putting up on the screen, you've got the Rams over the Packers here as the best teams going in. I would rank that the same way as well, Peter. But where do you have the Bucks, and why didn't you have the Bucks cracking this with their 12 coming back, Peter?
I mean, look, I think that those three atop the NFC could be in any order. The reason that I put them in this order right now is that, look, Green Bay has shown 2 years in a row who they are, and I'm not consigning them to missing on the Super Bowl again. I'm really not. They have the best chance probably to win home field in the NFC, but what good has that done them the last 2 years? And so I wasn't going to put Green Bay one, especially without Devontae Adams. And I think the reason that I like the Rams the most is that even though I don't like the loss of Von Miller, I don't like the loss of Andrew Whitworth, and, I mean, there's other losses. I think what Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald did in the biggest game of their lives just told me so much about who they are and who that team is. One thing I think about Tampa Bay is that, look, I think it's all well and good for everybody to automatically think that Tom Brady is just going to be who he always has been. And I think there's a good chance he will be. But at some point, he can't continue to be transcendent. And I don't know when that is. And I'm not saying he's going to take a huge step down, anything like that. But number one, is Gronk playing? Number two, when is Chris Godwin playing? And so I think, I don't know that Chris Godwin's going to be there at the start of the season. That is a guy who in his last two starts with Tampa had 25 targets or 25 catches from Brady. So to me, I've just got some questions about the Bucs.
Yeah, I kind of dig the Russell Gage signing.
I like Russell Gage, no question.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be, but those are definitely the class. I agree. Coming in as we're sitting here going on the cusp of June, Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so the membership, as the 32 owners of the NFL are called, meeting at the spring meeting, and is Dan Snyder in danger of losing his franchise, Peter, for real?
Well, I trust Jared Bell. He wrote a story in USA Today that said, quoted one owner as saying that they're counting votes they get, especially if Daniel Snyder is found in some ways responsible and or guilty in this current sexual harassment investigation that he is undergoing by the NFL. I think Jared Bell wrote a really interesting story that basically said it's always something with this guy. And I also think that overall people are seeing a once proud franchise in Washington being taken to the dumpster every year, you know, with more and more stories, negative stories and negative stuff about their team. And so I just look at it, Rich. I don't know what's going to happen. I truly don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that there's a lot of dissatisfaction over a once proud, once flagship franchise in the NFL, really having been torn asunder the last 25 years.
I mean, we had Alex Smith on the show a couple months ago, and you know, I asked him about his tenure there, and he said it was distracted. It definitely crept into the locker room, everything going on in the front office.
Yeah.
He said, how could it not, was his answer on that front. I'd never heard that one before, you know?
Yeah, and I think that you can say that, hey, we just play, we just go out there and play. I wonder this year how much of the junk it Vegas into Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler trying to build a team with a really, I mean, they've got as much talent on that team as they've had with the Raiders in a long time. So, you know, we'll see about that. But I understand why Alex Smith would say that, and he certainly is a trustworthy voice in that regard.
And so another story that's on the plate for everyone today is the fact that Deebo Samuel is not at OTAs for the 49ers. And my two cents is just everyone needs to take a breath that, you know, now that we're through the draft and he's still on the team, they're just going to generationally enrich him at some point, I'd imagine. And for him to turn it down would mean he'd have to sit at home. And I guess if he was all settled, we might have to put the 49ers even further up on your power rankings. There's the Trey Lance scenario, but he's going to be the starter too. What's your two cents on what's happening there in San Francisco,
Peter? I think you just said it a minute ago. I think that John Lynch is basically trying to let some time pass and for everybody to just sit back and relax and let, if there are tempers, let those tempers cool. If there's some dissatisfaction, give it a time to simmer a little bit and then have a conversation and say to Deebo Samuel, listen, you know, we absolutely unequivocally don't want to trade you. We want to make you one of the highest paid players in the game. We need to do that within the framework of keeping a great team together. And look, that means, in my opinion, if you do a contract with Deebo Samuel, you can guarantee him a lot and you can do everything, but it can't be a lot in this year. Rich, I think as of today, if I had to guess today, they're going to probably have to hang on to Jimmy Garoppolo, not only because nobody out there is offering to trade much for him, but also Garoppolo. You know, do they really know what they Trey Lance? So that's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, I would trust John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to know how to best structure this thing with Deebo Samuel, but unless he is absolutely adamant that he will never play a game for the 49ers, I just let this thing go, let everything rest. If he didn't come to minicamp, don't worry. Who cares? Just wait until August 1st. If it's still a problem August 1st, then we're going to have a more serious conversation.
I think that's a good date to peg. In the 2 minutes I have left for you, I'm gonna push back a little bit on the Lance thing. I personally think the Niners have already moved on from Jimmy G. The fact that he's still there is only because of the shoulder rehab and everything like that. I mean, it's so tough for people to just wrap their arms around, mind around that the Niners moving all the way up to number three last year. They were going to have to go to this kid at some point. I mean, Jimmy G's not Aaron Rodgers, where they're forced to, you know, abandon their Jordan Love plan. Like, this is going to happen. I mean, the draft capital's been spent. The kid is, you know, he's got to go.
But you can say it's going to happen, and you and I both think that Trey Lance is going to start opening day. The question is, what if after the first month of the season, you're 1-4 and Trey Lance is playing like crap? Do you just say, well, okay, we're going to take our medicine, blah, 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 blah? No, you say, this is one of the reasons why we have to think seriously about keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, because we're not sure about Trey Lance, and we're not willing to throw a season away. That's how I look at it, and that's the way I'd handle it if I were them.
Peter, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You're the man. Look for my call, as always. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. Take care.
That's Peter King right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What Peter just said makes total sense. Hold on to Jimmy G in case Trey Lance isn't ready. Hold on to him in case he's not ready. Because if you start 1-4, what happens next? Are you just going to have to take your medicine? And the answer to that question I have for you is yes, you have to take your medicine. You're trying to split the baby. You're trying to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, which is why it was so surprising to see the 49ers go all the way up to just number three to make a move for the third best quarterback in the draft. And we were all eager to find out who they evaluated as such. And it wasn't Justin Fields, and it wasn't Mac Jones. It turned out to be the kid from North Dakota State who played only one game his final season there because of COVID. And we were all stunned that they're really going to do that, because the only way to make this work without having to take your medicine is to have the kid turn out to be Patrick Mahomes or Big Ben or Russell Wilson, whoever you have in the recent history of this incredible sport that comes straight out of the box out of college, ready to start and win games. Justin Herbert. And even that team wasn't ready to hand things over to him. Even after he started emergency quarterback duties, that his first career start. Remember, Anthony Lynn basically came out and said, no, this is still Tyrod Taylor's team. And we were sitting here going, does he know what time it is? Like, we literally said that the first week. Like, do you know what time it is?
Did you watch that game?
Because your team chose him that high. You've got to go to him. You've got to get him seasoned. You got to get him reps. You got to get him out there. Because the sooner he does that, the faster you don't have to deal with the growing pains. And that's what I'm telling you. The Niners have made this move. They made it. And I don't think the best way for Trey Lance to be seasoned and get that over with the fastest is to have Jimmy G still sitting there. Plus, I don't think he's going to start 1-4. Team's too damn good.
Which is why if they start 1-4, it's a major, major problem.
Then major problem for this year. But go through it. You made the moves. You made the move. You have the ability as the coach there, and I'm assuming general manager, of ownership to say, when we signed off on it, we knew this is the way it could go.
But you were a half from the Super Bowl, so you're just going to punt on a season the year
after?
You're
not punting on a season. You're punting on... Well, I guess you're not punting on a season. What you're doing is paying it forward for your future so you don't have to ever go through a season like this again for like the next 10, 15 years. But that's what happens when you roll the dice on drafting a kid at the top and use all of your draft capital in future years to do it. But the half measure is Jimmy Garoppolo? Really? The guy who has taken you places and is so first class? Yes, but you're holding on for dear life when he throws it over the middle? One of the years that he went to the Super Bowl, you basically put training wheels back on the car, on the bike, in the playoff game against the Vikings. Remember that? They handed it off 15 straight times.
They didn't need to throw to win that game.
That's correct.
So everyone
but
coming at me with that
either.
Too. Oh, they only threw eight times. Didn't have to.
I'm telling you, this is the kid you drafted. This is the business you've chosen, which is to draft a kid at the top of the draft, and you're hoping against hope you don't go through the usual growing pains like the Jets did last year, or the Jaguars did last year, or the Bears did last year with your rookie quarterback. Or the Chiefs did back in the day when they sat Mahomes, and then the next year it was like, boom, we're never going to lose. Right off the bat. Boy, I hope that's the way it goes for the Niners. Just to make sure that everyone understands that all along I was right.
But 1-4, 1-5, and then Sudfeld comes in for a week? Like that?
No. You just keep it going. Unless he's not getting his ass kicked, which I don't think they will. They have enough people around him, as Kittle said the other day, Trent Williams, him, Debo, running game, coaching staff. Yeah. Cupboard is not bare. They've got enough. Let's take a break. Overreaction Monday when we come back right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back with more. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
You're going to be thinking about that for so long now.
What? The fact that you accuse me of being old because I play pickleball? Oh, no, someone of a certain age?
Not what I said. Oh. I never said the O word.
Of?
Osteoporosis?
Three-letter O word.
Oh. All right, let's do it. It's over. It's a Monday on the Rich Eisen Show, and which means it's time for Chris Brockman's Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays. Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have, sir?
Oh, yeah, real simple. One out of the gates, guys, a little NBA, watching Golden State play yesterday. The Warriors are going to sweep their way to the NBA title, meaning they're going to finish off the sweep against the Jazz, the Mavs, and then whoever comes out of the East, doesn't matter.
How's Jimmy Butler's knee?
Game time decision today. Tyler Hero not playing tonight for the Miami.
Is that a coach's decision or what? Because remember, he disappeared in game three.
Poof. Tyler Hero?
Yeah.
I think he's dealing with a hamstring issue. He did have his leg wrapped in the second half.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Jimmy Butler, a surprise scratch for the second half in game three.
If Jimmy Butler's not playing in the NBA Finals, if they get there.
Sweet. Broom. Broom time.
I will say that is definitely some form of an overreaction still. It's still an overreaction. Okay. Still
Warriors
an overreaction.
Look good, man. They okay. look good.
Okay. Very good. What else you got over there, Chris?
Dallas looking at Luka. Another 40-point game last night. Interesting stat. So they showed Dirk at one point. Dirk had 7 40-point games in the playoffs.
Yes.
Mavs were 6-1 in those games. This is the 8th 40-point game for Luka already.
Yes.
Mavs are 2-6.
Yes.
In his 40-point games. Luka needs to recruit another superstar.
Oh, yeah.
To Dallas.
Bingo. Oh, that is definitely spot on. I mean, that is hits the target. You have now dunked on Overreaction Monday like Wiggins atop Luka.
That guy needs to come to Dallas.
Oh, you put Embiid on the screen, too. He keeps putting your star players in his mouth.
Yeah, he's whoa. he's got some real issues. Like he tried to tell me three years ago the Sixers should trade Embiid. He just doesn't want to have Embiid having to play against the Celtics.
Luka and Embiid together
in Philly would be great.
Unstoppable.
It would be amazing in Philadelphia.
They'd have to send the Liberty Bell down to Dallas for that.
I mean, it's cracked anyway, so take
nice.
It. I mean, it's broken.
I think it's priceless. That's why I brought it up. It's priceless. I don't know if you saw National Treasure.
Oh, yeah.
it's priceless.
Embiid on Dallas? I mean, come on.
No, but he definitely, absolutely.
But who are they going to get?
That's a great
question.
In
all seriousness. Who are they going to get?
Who's available?
That's why Luka should leave.
Who's the guy?
Like Rudy Gobert isn't pushing Dallas.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
You know what I mean?
You're talking about Lillard. You're talking about.
I'm talking about, a big guy, too. Maybe a big guy? I don't know.
I don't know if you need to have a big guy or anything like that. I don't think
like
I'm not sitting here thinking
Lillard,
that's
Lillard
what's missing.
Nice. Lillard would be nice.
But he's something's not walking through that door.
Something's missing it.
But yes, yes, yes. We do need that second. We need the Robin. Yeah. We know who Batman is. Spencer Dinwiddie is currently Robin. I think we need a little bit better than that.
A little upgrade. No,
what about Tim Hardaway Jr. when he comes back, right? He's not out forever.
Yes, but like him and Finney Smith are just kind of the same guy.
You think so?
Kind of.
What else you got, Chris?
A little football. We just hit on a lot right there with Peter King and then afterwards, Rich. But Jimmy G will be on the 49ers roster week one, just in case.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Just in case.
No. No. No.
You going to have Sudfeld just in case or what?
I don't think that helps Trey Lance is to look over his shoulder and there's the guy that's been there. That's taken them almost to two Super Bowls.
Even if it's a mentor situation?
Correct. He's not there to mentor anybody. We've already heard that from Ryan Tannehill. He's not there to mentor Trey Lance. If he did that last year, then more power to him. He deserves his own shot, man. Again, the Niners made this bed. They traded to go into the top five of a draft to take a quarterback that they knew wasn't going to be the top two. They knew two would be taken off the board, and they knew who the two probably were. Remember when the trade happened? I think the trade happened on the day of Zach Wilson's pro day. Remember that? We were all sitting here at Zach Wilson's pro day, BYU. He's making these throws, and in the middle of it, the trade happened. And word is that they called Saleh, although they denied it, and Robert's like, yeah, you're not coming here. We're keeping our pick. We're going to trade Sam Darnold, which they wound up doing eventually. By the way, for a second-round choice that turned into Breece Hall. Joe Douglas for mayor. So, they made this bed. And at some point, this is not, again, Jimmy G's not Aaron Rodgers winning back-to-back MVPs where they're like, okay, we got to put our plans for that quarterback we drafted in the first round that we traded up to go get. We got to put those on hold. As a matter of fact, we could still just keep going with this guy until the wheels fall off. And we'll re-sign him. Because that's Aaron Rodgers. This is Jimmy Garoppolo. No. Best thing for Lance is to send Garoppolo packing and you live with Trey Lance and you get him better and you get the reps going and you start winning football games this year with the team that you can. And then suddenly years 2, 3, and 4 of him as a starter, the Niners are sitting there going toe-to-toe with the Rams or the Cardinals. The in-season Hard Knocks Cardinals.
In-season Hard Knocks.
So, you know, and we're assuming Seattle is going to be out of it for the next couple of years. Be careful. We'll see if Mayfield goes there. But overreaction.
Okay.
Although you're hearing that's the general reaction right now.
Yeah, I was surprised that Peter brought up the same thing.
I'm saying no shot. If I had to
your flag is so planted.
If I had to put down five hard-earned American dollars.
Oh.
Just five?
Oh.
500?
That's all I got in my pocket.
Oh.
It's all digital these days. Plus, I got to Venmo him $21.
Well, have to.
All of these things just put together. If I had a bet, Niners have already moved on from Jimmy G. They're gone. He's not even in their plans. He's not going to.
Kaiser Soze?
On. Where are their plans? You're in this drawer. Jimmy's not in there.
All right. Here's one. Some news from this morning. We're just talking about a backup quarterback. But you know what, Rich? Find someone who loves you like Frank Reich loves Nick Foles.
Proper reaction. Everybody. He can't quit him. They can't quit each other. And why not? They won a Super Bowl together.
Nick Foles, new Colts backup. Just went down this morning.
Great, man. By the way, Sam Ehlinger. How lucky is he to be in a quarterback room with Nick Foles and Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
How great is he? How lucky is he? Hey, man, no pressure on you. Just watch these two guys work. And Ryan and Foles are two incredible humans. Incredible. They're one P away from being the general manager of the Chicago Bears. One's Ryan Poles. This one's Ryan Foles.
Hey,
right there. Hey, I literally just thought of it. This is why we're flying to New York after this show. That's all I'm saying.
I saw a bunch of tweets of like, can't wait for the inevitable. Nick Foles plays a couple games this year and talks someone into giving him a new contract.
Nah, I think Ryan's going to be the man.
I think so too. A little golf. Tiger Woods had a rough go on Saturday, ended up withdrawing, which obviously the right move. He was in a lot of pain. Tiger should skip the U.S. Open.
Mm.
Get himself right for the Open Championship.
Because that is at St. Andrews, right? And he loves playing that?
It is. And the U.S. Open next month is in Brookline, Mass. Similar course to Southern Hills.
That's where the Ryder Cup was a few years ago.
Really hard walk.
That's where Danny Woodhead's trying to qualify today.
Great story. We'll hit on later.
I think that's not a bad way to look at it. Because he wants to be at St. Andrews. He loves St. Andrews. Obviously, St. Andrews loves him.
Won there.
I like it. I don't know if that's going to be his speed, but if he couldn't make it through all four rounds at Southern Hills.
Yeah, you even saw it on Thursday. It was just a labor issue for Tiger getting around the course.
Yeah, I think that's a good reaction.
And lastly, talk a little pucks.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
The Lightning guys, I'm not sure if you're paying attention. The Lightning are putting it down.
Yeah, they are.
They are going to three-peat.
World's best goalie. You could make that case. If you beat them in the playoffs, you're not going to beat them the next game.
Right. Was it 18, 19 in a row or something like that?
Well, they haven't lost in this series yet.
Florida was a one seed. It looked like we were headed for a Panthers-Avalanche finals, and it is 3-0. Tampa taking it to Florida. Lightning, 3-peat.
I guess the two things that are you can make book on in the NHL right now is the Lightning are the best team, and no matter how good the Maple Leafs look in the regular season, they're just still not going to win a playoff series. Sorry to throw some shade on Toronto out of the blue, but...
Now, if you want to go a little Lightning Warriors championship parlay, it might pay out pretty
much. I don't know what you mean by that. All right, we will take a break. And proof that everything's still fine in my household, you, against your counsel last week,
said not to mention my wife as a possibility
of why my Uber rating is so bad that by proxy she has been riding in a lot of these cars with me.
Ugh.
She would like to chime back in. She's already in New York, by the way, for tomorrow night's festivities. That's coming up next.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100% you need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking about how Jay Felly's Uber rating is better than mine, and he got banned from Uber because what is ex-girlfriend, I imagine?
Yes.
Okay, she once took a ride on his account and stole the charger from the driver.
Yep.
Now, again, my Uber rating...
And I got thrown in there somehow.
My Uber rating was 454 2 years ago. I have now since boosted it to 456 because I am on my best behavior. And last week, you told me that you're able to... You are able to look at your ratings sort of like, you know, when you look at a podcast that's been rated five stars, four stars, three stars, 2 stars, 1 star. You're now able to see what your ratings have been throughout your ride history. Now, I had over 225 star ratings, and I had 16 1 star ratings.
Horrible.
How many 1 star ratings have you had?
I had four.
Four? How many 1 star ratings
have you had? I think I had one.
I had six.
And you've been banned. Shouldn't banning be like count for multiple 1 star ratings?
You would think.
I have 16, and I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
So many.
And I think my one was because I had to cancel a trip.
Until I had a conversation with my wife.
My wife.
And apparently, she's had some impact.
Uh-oh.
We talked about it last week, Jim. We talked about it much against your advice of counsel. You said don't do it.
Wasn't my first idea.
So joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is the one and only Susie Schuster. What's up, Susie?
Hey. Guys, first of all, that whole my wife thing is really annoying. I find that whole my wife thing so annoying when you guys all chime in and you think you're charming, but it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but it's from Borat. It's funny.
And we can't stop now.
But I know, but it's I think it's served its purpose. No?
Well, here's the deal, Suze. Let's not lose focus on the task at hand here.
Suze's trying to deflect right now.
No, it's all right. I think she just doesn't like, she doesn't like the fact that I'd be the Borat in that situation. Right, Suze? Or you're just the wife.
We're all doing it.
Plus, Susie's not just a wife. You know what I mean? Like, I think I've gotten that one down pat. But at any rate, long story short, Suze, is you have the floor here on the subject.
Let me set the scene. I'm hiding in a corner of a toy store on Madison and 80th. So there you go. Wow. That's number one. Number two, Chris, thank you for being the attorney and the head of HR at Rich Eisen Show.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate that. That's
no problem.
Number three, I did make the mistake of dipping into the comments. And for those of you calling me a Karen, thanks. That's three. And then fourth, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
And I happened to ask this of my Uber driver yesterday when I was charming, to say the least.
You two are the perfect pair.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Say that I don't know. I've been wearing the same perfume since I was 15.
Okay.
Oftentimes players would say, like, I knew you were in the arena. That didn't mean I was, like, drinking it and stinking it. But they're like, oh, you smell great. I knew you were here. I could smell your perfume.
Okay.
If I'm getting dressed up to go out for the night, and I put this effort in, and I step into an Uber that smells like it's been dipped in the stink that Kramer found in Jerry's car. When the valet took it away and he never was able to sell it. No, I'm actually okay. I'm right in. Sorry.
Yeah.
Getting in trouble in the store. So that Uber stinks because the guy's got so much cologne on. If I go to get out of the car at the event, I'm going to stink like Jerry and Elaine did when the great Nick Bakay wouldn't hug her because she smelled of the stink. I don't want to smell of the stink when I get it. So I've been known to say, oh, my God, I can't. Also, I get headaches from the smell because sometimes I do get a headache. It happens. It's called something like an oral headache from a stinky car. Or third situation.
Okay.
Say that you get into a car. And we're spending money here, kids.
No, no.
And it stinks of cigarettes, and I know I'm going to get out of that car, and I'm going to stink like I've been smoking at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I did a couple highballs in Tribeca. So I don't want to stink. I'm allowed to say, excuse me, can I put the window down because it stinks in here?
So you're not denying your expression of olfactory issues within an Uber.
That's what I meant. Uh-huh, olfactory.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And okay.
I think I should be able to, but you guys, are you guys just parading around trying to get a good Uber rating? I mean, it's also a business. Like if I do a show and I'm awful, you guys don't want to watch, right?
Mm.
So why would it be okay for me to get into an Uber that stinks of cologne, that stinks of cigarettes, and not complain?
Yeah, but I think it's just outwardly saying, hey, it stinks back here. You know, just be like, hey, do you mind if I put the window down? There's ways around it.
I mean, tomato, tomato.
Thus, a one-star rating. Do you see what I'm saying?
Also, Rich?
Yeah.
I appreciate that you are continually throwing me under the bus.
I don't think you do appreciate it. I'll be honest.
Radio, television, simulcast. I'm glad that I'm your, you know, I don't know. Give me another expression. I'm your what? I'm your.
No, I'm your punching bag. I'm not. No.
Miss Manners beard. Uh-huh. For lack of a better word.
Oh, okay. Look at that. All right.
But you're loud in the car. You talk on the phone a lot. Maybe you're just a noisy guy to be in the back seat.
She has a point.
I'm a loud talker? Is that what it
you're
is?
You're on the phone a lot.
Loud
you're
talker.
On the phone a lot.
But I pace. I'm not allowed to pace in the car. Right. You know I'm a pacer.
You guys, it's so annoying. He paces all the time. Oh, guys, can I ask you a question?
He was doing it this morning.
This up to the Greater Rich Eisen Appreciation Club.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Like, do you like getting into an expensive car that's of all high heaven?
No, nobody does. But you can't just insult them to their face and expect to get a 5-star rating.
She didn't insult them. She didn't say you stink.
Hey, it stinks back here.
No, I told you.
A little bit insulting.
No, I told you. It's an audible like oof.
Okay, and also may I make a point? I would never insult somebody to their face.
Of course
I have a great respect for the fact that they're doing their job.
Yes,
it's like people who are rude to waiters make me insane.
Yeah.
Or busboys, even worse. That makes me so enraged because these guys, by the way, not only usually speak three or four languages. Go to an Italian restaurant, every bus guy speaks three languages. Like, they're speaking Spanish, English, and Italian. I don't like people who are rude to people that are in a situation in which they are of service.
Oh, I've seen this in action. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I get enraged.
Okay.
I think that's just the lowest form. But I'm telling you right now, I'm spending a ton of money. Say that we're feeling fancy for the night, so we get like a nice black car.
Ooh.
Or even, like, God forbid, an SUV. And you get in and it stinks of high heaven. What about the responsibility for that driver? Am I supposed to pretend this is great? I'm spending a lot of money.
All right. Well, I guess.
Understood.
We hear what you're saying.
And I'm going to hang up and you're going to continue to throw me over the bus.
No,
the way out the bus.
Never. I love you. I love you. I would never do that. I would never do that. Yeah, whatever.
All right.
See you in New York, Susan.
Guys, can't wait to see you in New York. It is gorgeous out. It's like New York is showing off today.
Awesome. Nice. Well, we are showing up in New York.
We are excited to be there.
We'll see you soon, Suze.
Can't wait. Bye, guys.
All right, there you go. There's Susie Schuster, everybody. What more evidence do you need?
I think it's shared blame.
Like a ride share?
Yeah. I mean, you're probably responsible for half the ones, and she's probably responsible
Guess what?
For the other.
Guess what? No more! No more.
She's on her own?
No. We're going to be doing it. We are...
Buttoned up.
Oh, God. But if you are driving, do us a favor. Don't shower in Dracar Noir and add a little bit of the Paco Rabanne on top of it.
Pine tree.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the pine tree.
Yeah, just easy on the pine tree.
Easy on the pine tree, everybody. But I'm serious. The roll went. She never insulted the guy. Just you were aware.
No.
It's the roll the window down.
Ugh.
And the oof.
Yeah.
And then maybe from the back seat to me, a little bit audibly, do you smell that?
Right.
Do you smell that? That's happened. One of our favorite people, hers, mine, and ours, Josh Charles, coming up in hour number three. His Orioles got a kid catcher, Adley Rutschman, whose call up to the major leagues was captured on film. That went viral this weekend. Absolutely outstanding. He got Mike Mussina's number.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, he did.
Number one overall prospect in Major League Baseball.
Yes, indeed. And he tripled, I believe, in his first at bat.
Yep.
So
short list of people have done that.
It is exactly right. So he'll be joining us in hour number three. He also has some great stories from behind the stage at the draft because he announced a pick at the draft for the Ravens.
And we're going to see him tomorrow?
We're going to see him tomorrow.
Fantastic.
I mean, if all goes well. I mean, he's got small kids. But coming up next, the manager of the New York Metropolitans, Buck Showalter. Oh, look, he means business. Look at that photograph.
It's my skipper right
his
there.
His hands are like on his hips like, hey.
That's right.
It's right. Not on my lawn.
Oh, what a great season so far.
It has been, right?
There are times where I just there have been years, many, many years, where I've absolutely just hated baseball at this point of the year. And
you're 8 games up on the Braves.
I know.
My Yanks are 11 games up on the Red Sox.
You know, and
how's that feeling? How's that working in your household?
What?
Yeah, you know, stumble out of gates and have large holes to make up.
Just my watch. My watch is tough. Like getting to the date. What's the date again?
Oh God, this guy.
The 23rd
like so
of
this
May.
Guy. But it's May, right? It's not
the
September.
Whole business of, you
it's
know
not
what?
September. It's
you guys,
May, right?
You guys, all you guys have is the past. We've got the. And it's like you've got. So what? Everything's in the past too.
Hey, remember that when
For
I
the Red Sox.
Oh, remember you said that when I bring up the Cowboys 5 Super Bowls in, like they matter is essentially what you're saying.
Well, it does matter how long it's been.
But it's still the past.
Correct. It's still the past.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Okay. And you can change the past right now.
Also, hold on.
Look at Rich Strike. Rich Strike changed the past in like 2.5 minutes.
And that's fine. I'll listen to the Yankee BS from you. But someone like Fabiano, whose favorite teams are
the Cowboys
the Yankees,
and the Yankees,
Cowboys, and the Lakers. I'm not going to hear it from this fairweather dude who like grew up in sports in the 90s. I'm like, these are the best teams in the 90s. I'm going to like all these teams. F off, bro.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
That was unnecessarily
does not
aggressive.
Stand for Fabiano, I
no.
believe. He didn't tell him to go Fabiano
I am
on.
I'm not hearing it from someone like him.
Poor Fab, sitting at home. Sitting
are the
at home.
Yankees, yeah. Lakers, and Cowboys.
He didn't offer him a falafel. Like,
get
no.
Out
he just
here.
Went right in.
Right in there. If Thomas Jane was here, he would have said it.
Thank goodness he didn't.
That's just going to be my
We're
point.
Serious right now? I could curse if I wanted.
No, I'm don't do it.
That. Oh, we can? You
no,
shouldn't tell me
we
that.
Don't do it. We don't want to do
that. I'm above that.
We're not doing it.
It's sometimes easier just to say the word.
Well, just tell from now on, tell everyone if you want to do that. Just tell everyone to go Fabiano off.
Use that.
Go Fabiano yourself.
Go Fabiano yourself.
Go Fabs off.
It's literally what you just said.
I mean, just say it.
You just said it.
Come on.
I love that. When he joined our conversation.
By the way, the Sox are the hottest team in the American League.
They are. They finally started hitting. You said that, and that's how it started. Yeah. He said that, and then I tweeted him. I said, you know, finally, welcome to the 2022 and Major League Baseball season. And then Fabiano came in top rope, I knew that would set him off. Check that box. It did.